service tonight. Amen. That's what you're feeling in this house tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open them to James chapter 1, verse 25. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sister Lydia will also read James 1 and 23 through 24 before we're seated as well. So we'll start with verse 25 and then we'll back up to. I want to give honor to Bishop. Love and appreciate him. Love and appreciate our leadership team. They stayed around for six grueling hours yesterday and was patient and graceful. And I got to tag along, so I appreciate each of them. And looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in this last few months of this year. Amen. Can you believe it's November? And December's coming soon, and 2026 is upon us. Hallelujah. Amen. Thankful for all that the Lord is doing. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 25 as a text, and then we'll back up to verses 23 and 24 and read those to give a little bit more context. Verse 25 of James chapter 1, if you have it, say amen. All right. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I'm going to read that again just for the sake of emphasis. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Backing up to verse 23, and we'll also read verse 24, it says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his face in his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach for just, I don't know how long the Lord's going to help us tonight. I do believe the Lord has got something to say to someone here tonight. And I believe that you were on the Lord's mind. Amen. When he was thinking about this service. And I'm not saying that for emotional appeal or for trying to appeal to your I don't want to hype things up, but I really believe that God wants to reach somebody tonight. And so I want to preach on this subject, the perfect law. Amen. Let's lay down our Bibles and ask the Lord help us tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. It's already evident in this sanctuary. I thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for receiving our worship and our praise tonight. Pray that you would anoint my lips, anoint my heart, anoint every mind and every heart, every ear in this sanctuary. Help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save us. It's able to help us tonight. Hallelujah. If you clap your hands, I will allow you or ask you to be seated. Amen. You can be seated. I guess there's not much I could do about it, even if I wasn't to so-called allow you to be seated. I'm not going to get back there and pull every one of you out of your seats. So be seated according to your own will, I guess. I want to preach tonight on this, the perfect law. Amen. There is a perfect law. Now, I think humanity, and especially those who are younger and in their earlier years, and it starts along about 12 or 13 years old, they start resenting any kind of authority in their life because somehow their brain turned on in that moment. And they started thinking and they started realizing that, oh, I can process things as well as mom and dad can. And then you go on and extrapolate that. And in the 1960s, there was a whole movement against authorities. And there was an anti-authority movement that seized our nation. And frankly, I believe that we today are still feeling the effects of that movement. Amen. And so it's become more popular that to especially in your teenage years and sometimes on into your early 20s. I can talk about that over my shoulder now that I'm 32. Amen. But I'm not too far removed from it. And still, I believe that I'd have to contend with my own flesh to submit myself, to submit my mind, to submit my hearts, my ambitions, my emotions to whatever it is that the Lord would like me to do. Amen. I'm not always perfectly submitted. Amen. I want to be. Maybe that shocks some of you. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not perfect. I'm not walking on streets of gold yet. Amen. But every day that I wake up, I ask the Lord to help me, amen, to follow His will, to know His will, to obey His will. So it's in that spirit that I come to you tonight. Amen. I want to perhaps share this desire. Amen. If someone under the sound of my voice tonight, amen, is struggling with this idea of submission to God's will and God's law, then let me try to help you tonight. Amen. I believe that there is a perfect law, and that happens to be the Word of God. It's easy to access. It's the most printed book in the land, and you can pick it up at almost any convenience store, any grocery store, any big box store. You can always get access to this perfect law. Amen. Let me talk to you a little bit about, amen, the perfect law. It's not just any law. Amen. You can look through the pages of history, and you can read about. I've got to slow down so I can get to our destination. Amen. But there are, it began with the city-state nations in the olden days, prehistoric times, before it was a profession to keep track of history and to keep track of information of that sort was the way that kingdoms and dominions were established was the strongest man was the one who got to write the law. Is whoever had the biggest army, or whoever was the smartest, or whoever had the most advanced technology, whoever had the most capable soldiers in battle. And so they would go in to a city, perhaps nearby or even afar, and they would seize that city. And now those people, the citizens of that city, become subjects to the new king. And that new king laws came in the form of edicts through just him thinking of something. Oh, well, I don't like it this way, so we're going to do this. And then maybe a few days later, without even thinking about the consequences, he changes it and adjusts it. And it's at the whim of a man. And so I could probably get on board with a lot of folks that may contend with that type of authority. Why? Because there is no origin for that authority. The Bible does teach us that those that are in authority are set there by God, even today. Amen. Even in our secular ranks, even in our natural government. But if it were just subject to the most powerful man, the one that had the most capable soldiers, then I too would question and would doing it perhaps begrudgingly. But there is a law, amen, that has been established for eternity, amen, that is not written by the hands of a man, amen. Yes, it was 40 men who were inspired by God, and their hands put the ink on pages, amen, but they weren't the authors of this perfect law, amen. This law, amen, supersedes eras and millennia and centuries and decades, amen. This perfect law will last, has lasted long before you came into the picture and long after you will die. Hallelujah. We hear the saying, it's the law that binds. And that comes, I believe, from this general sentiment that law is intended to bind, to control, to oppress. Probably from this historic origin of these men coming in that way. Amen. But let me tell you something about this law. This law's purpose is not to put fetters on your hands and not to put chains on your feet and to throw you into some dungeon out of some neglect of obedience to its pages and its ordinances. Amen. But the perfect law, hear me tonight, this perfect law is, as a matter of fact, sets free those who are bound.
The perfect law does not bind, it liberates. Hallelujah. Hear what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Amen. James 1:25, he says, whoso looketh into the perfect law. Whoever's looking, whoever's studying, amen, whoever's reading, whoever is paying attention to this law. If you do so, amen, with diligence, as Bishop talked about this morning, if you do so with an open heart and willingness, yes, sometimes it goes against our own nature, our own humanity, amen, our own desires and ambitions. But let me tell you, if you look into it, if you abide by it, it's going to set you free. Hallelujah. It's the perfect law, but not just the perfect law. It's the perfect law of liberty. Hallelujah. You're going to help me tonight. I'm not going to preach very long. I mean, I hope I don't preach very long. I better put that asterisk there. Amen. But I just want God, amen, to reveal to someone tonight, amen, this little revelation, this little understanding. Took me many, many years to get this understanding. Amen. They make accusations. They toss blame, amen, on the Pentecostal, the apostolics, as being too legalistic and too authoritative. Amen. Our authority comes from the Word of God. I'm not trying to oppress anybody. I want them to just see and experience and look into the perfect law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Out of those kingdoms, those small city-sized states and kingdoms where one man would rule perhaps for just months, not very long, the next strongest man come across that, and some men decided to study that. They decided to look into those laws, try to understand what is this? What is this idea of government? What is this? What is the best way to govern others, contemporaries, our own? How do we do this? And I'm no historian, so please give me a little grace here tonight. I'm just going to shoot from the hip here a little bit, but I'm just trying to share this information so you can get a grasp, perhaps a little bit, what I'm trying to share tonight. Amen. But out of the period, the Enlightenment period, along about 1500, amen, there was a group of men that was studying these laws, and they looked at the Roman Empire. They looked at the Greeks and how they managed their respective city-states, and they looked even beyond that, back into the Sumerian age, all the way back to the beginning of recorded time. And these men decided there's got to be a better way. I can't subject the ones that I've gone to war with, the ones that I've been amen, locked into the valley of the of battle with, and I want to give them something better. And I'm talking about, of course, our nation. Amen. Our nation was born long before 1776. Our nation was born in the hearts of men back in, I believe, in the late mid 1500s. Man by the name of John Locke, amen, wrote many treaties on the subject. And I'm not going to get into I'm not going to get into these details, because we can get bound up by all of that. And that's not the purpose here. Amen. But even these imperfect men striving to wrap their minds around what's the most successful and effective form of government, determined that individual and self, amen, property management is the best and most appropriate form of government. Recognizing and respecting each individual for who they are. Jefferson was a known individualist, and he didn't originate that idea or concept. It came from John Locke, and as he penned the words on the Declaration of Independence, many of those words were contrived from two sources. Number one, John Locke's writing, and number two, your own Holy Bible. Amen. Let me tell you, amen, that the perfect law liberates even in the most natural and carnal of situations. Hallelujah. Where slaves were the order of the day. Amen. Now, because of a government that was willing to work, amen, and to die and to spend fortune. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. They were able to liberate not only themselves from a monarchian kind of government, but they were able to liberate slaves. Hallelujah, from an ancient form, amen, of bondage, amen. It was ultimately the principles, amen, that are written in the Declaration of Independence that have set many, many, many slaves free. And the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I'm not going to get bogged down into that. Amen. But let me tell you, amen, no matter how wonderful, amen, freedoms we experience today, amen, you can witness for yourself in our news articles, on social media, even those rights, those laws that have been written, amen, and paid for at a high cost, amen, are today being stripped away one by one, one by one. Amen. And so you see, amen, that even the Declaration of Independence, even the Constitution, even the Bill of Rights is not a perfect law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 15, it tells us, and it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Amen. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Amen. You understand that this law doesn't just govern our temporal natures. This law does not just govern, amen, where you're sitting in the home that you go home to tonight, amen, but this law governs an eternal, endless life, amen, and he's concerned about the liberty, not of your current body, but of your eternal soul. Hallelujah. And I too come with a great burden tonight. I want you to experience the power of an endless life. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. Sister Tori, get ready. Amen. I'm going to finish up very soon. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Where you submit to the Spirit of the Lord, when you subject your mind, when you subject your heart, when you subject that eternal soul, amen, to the Spirit of Hallelujah. Amen. You're waking up tomorrow and you see the bills that are on in your email account. Amen. You can wake up tomorrow and you got to face the same old boss. Amen. You got to wake up tomorrow and you deal with the same old sickness. Hallelujah. And you say, I don't see how this law can set that free. Friend, you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. There's yet another life beyond these temporal times. Hallelujah. Tori, I'm ready when you are. Hallelujah. There's another time beyond the one that you're living in right now. But the devil's trying to blind an eye. He's trying to cover up, amen, what you're looking at. Amen. So you can't see, amen, the time that's beyond this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You look at us, we're just dancing. You come here early for prayer and you see people walking back and forth, and it looks crazy. And then you get on into Sunday night service, Brother Nelson is kicking it up, and wow, what a crazy guy. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But you're looking at it from the wrong set of eyes. Hallelujah. This man, Brother Nelson, has experienced a power that produces endless life. Not just Brother Nelson, but he's a good example because he was on the platform a few moments ago, and I'm sure everybody saw him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you too can feel what it's like when the Spirit comes on you. And that weight, Sister Amber, of life comes falling off. And you see what real liberty feels like. You're right. We live in a free country. There are no chains on my hands. There are no chains on my feet. Yes, I have nominally freedom of speech. Thankfully, we have a little bit more freedom of speech now than we did about a year ago. Thank God for it. Thank God for the window of time that we have right now. But there may come a day when that's all gone. And we no longer have freedom of speech. We no longer have these liberties that are enshrined in pieces of paper written by another man 200 years ago. I appreciate everything that George Washington and all those wonderful men had done. I've just been listening to biography by Ron Chernow on George Washington, and many of you may know, but his prim and proper way, he walked around and never cracked a smile. Everybody called him and said that he was either made of granite or marble. He was just a solid man. One man in the war said, I remember I was in battle with him and my shoulder was up against his foot. He said, not even his foot moved. Just the way that he was at the beginning of the war. But you get on through that wartime, about 8 or 9 years later, and they go through Valley Forge, and they go through all the times of scarcity and without much. And that proud young man turns into an older man who's been war-hardened, but he's developed a personal affinity with these young men who he fought alongside. And where he used to, literally, you could read letters that he wrote that he criticized the Continental Army as they came together because they didn't have uniforms. They didn't take care of themselves enough. They didn't keep proper hygiene. But by the end of the deal, you can see letters where he's writing and he's talking about how beautiful are the torn and tattered clothes of these men who have given their lives. Wonderful, wonderful things that our country has done for us. But at that greatest extent of cost, as great a cost as that has been, and how grateful I am for it, even all of those men, sometime in the future, Bishop, I believe that we need to have to go through a period of time just like that all over again to defend our liberties and our laws. Well, one of these days, we're going to get raptured out of here. You might be looking at your situation right now and think it looks grim, it looks torn, it looks tattered. It looks like there's no way that you can get out of this valley. You might be right now in the greatest battle of your life. Let me tell you something. Amen. And I'm obviously talking spiritually. Now, I hope nobody's carrying ARs around and fighting literally in that way. You might be struggling, perhaps on your bed at night, struggling with your own soul. Let me just tell you, it is worth the fight. You wake up in the morning and you scoff at the image that's in the mirror. Let me tell you, soldier, keep on fighting. This perfect law is worth defending. You might say, I haven't defended it like I should have thus far. Well, buddy, get back in the fight. It's time. We need defenders of this faith. Amen. The Apostle James also said in his epistle, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. There's only one chance. You only have one opportunity. You only have one chance. Let's all stand together tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know how many opportunities you have. Amen. And I don't know how many times the Lord will afford you to come back into this sanctuary. Amen. Into his house to hear his inspired word. But let me just ask you, why don't you make tonight the night that you get back in the fight? You want deliverance? Start fighting for it. You want victory? Get in the fight. Oh, hallelujah. Now the Lord is that spirit. Amen. How do I fight? You come and submit yourself to the spirit of the Almighty. Amen. Who's got the greatest weaponry? Who's got the greatest and strongest army? Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord just for a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's up to you now.